precious name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be here. It's a little bit of an unusual situation. It's the visitors outnumbering the regular people. I don't recall that ever happening at Loyola, but that would give me a little bit of a different feeling, and I trust those of you that are here regularly can get used to that different feeling this morning. We are glad to be here and to worship with you. We've all done various things this week, probably a variety. Some of us have done things that maybe nobody else did at your job, whether it's unloading products or walking through poultry buildings or whatever you do. But I hope that there's one thing that we all have done this week. And we like to think about that. Something that I trust that each one of us did this week, and that is to knock on heaven's door. How many times did you do that? I trust that we all did that very frequently, knocking on heaven's door. For a text, you may open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Succeeding in prayer life. We'd like to think about prayer life this morning. It's a very important aspect of our life. We are busy people. We have a lot of things to do. But prayer needs to somehow be finding a place in our life. And I challenge myself with that this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him. We have many reasons this morning to knock on heaven's door. We have many reasons this oncoming week, being the first day of the week, to knock. The first knock, I believe, that we should be doing regularly is to knock to praise God. We need to think about God and think about His greatness. I'd like to draw a few thoughts from Isaiah chapter 40. You may turn to Isaiah 40 and think about God. We need to be knocking to praise God. In verse 15 of Isaiah 40, it mentions how the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the owls as a very little thing. In verse 22, mentions how the inhabitants there are as grasshoppers that stretch out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. We need to think about the omnipresence of God, that God is in every place. Yes, we're here, gathered here in Bronx, but there's other people gathering in other places and other states and other countries, and back home they're gathering. But God's not limited. He can be at every service and make observations and be glorified at each service. It's hard for us to get our mind around that. The omnipresence of God. He's not limited. He's not limited to be with our friends in Ukraine, our friends in Honduras this morning, and be there in their worship services. We also think about the omnipotence of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. That was Mary's conclusion. In Matthew, with God all things are possible. There's nothing impossible with God. He can do anything. We can also consider the omniscience of God. We have that in verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? that the everlasting God, the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Infinite understanding. We study to just learn a little more. Some of us should study more so we know more. But think about it, friends. God never studies. He never studies to acquire a little more knowledge. That's not God. That's impossible with God. God never said, well, never knew that. Well, that's something new. No, God knows. He goes. He has infinite understanding. God never studies to acquire more knowledge. A child may feel somewhat timid, bashful to knock at a door of big people. Remember as a boy going with my mother, she liked to peddle blueberries and sometimes to go to a door and knock. It makes you feel a little bashful, a little timid to do that. Brothers and sisters, this morning, let's not fail to knock at God's door to praise him. Yes, we're so small, we're so limited, we're so finite. But we need to take courage to knock on God's door to honor him, to praise him, to kneel before God in reverence and humility and admiration. This coming week, brethren and sisters, we need to take time to knock and praise God for just who he is. Secondly, we need to knock to thank him. Jesus gives us this example, both at the feeding of the 4,000, the feeding of the 5,000. Yes, it was just a little bit of food, 7 loaves and a few little fishes. But he stopped and raised his hands and thanked God for the food. Give us our daily bread. We need to be people that knock to thank. Knock to thank. This coming week, we need to do it quite often because we are very blessed. And there may be Christians that don't have many things, that they don't have the houses and the land and the possessions that we have. But they too can bow their head and thank God for their heavenly citizenship. And really, isn't that more important than the stuff that we have? To thank God for our heavenly citizenship. God never tires of answering knocks on his door to give thanks for the birth and death and resurrection of his beloved son Jesus Christ. We need to be people that just regularly thank him for that. I believe we're living in end times, and one of the characteristics of end times is unthankfulness, and that can even rub off on us and our children. To be people that think that we need these things and people owe it to us. But we need to cultivate thankfulness. We need to be encouraging it in our children, us as parents and school teachers. It's just encouraging when even a small child, maybe you do just a small thing as buttering his bread and he says, thanks, Dad. There's other times they don't do that. But we need to cultivate that we are thankful people for what God does for us and what others do for us. We need to be like that leper in Luke 17. What did he do? He went back to Jesus and he fell on his face and just thanked him for what Jesus just did in healing him. Thirdly, we need to knock to pour out our hearts. You know, if God would discourage people from knocking to pour out their hearts, there's one book that we wouldn't have in the Bible, and that would be Psalms. It wouldn't be there. Because Psalms is full of knocks. David did that very frequently. Just knock on heaven's door to pour out his heart. We need to be doing the same. God encourages us to do that. In Psalm 62, If you will turn to Psalm 62, we notice that David made a practice of this, to just knock on heaven's door to pour out his heart to God. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah." We also have in Psalms chapter 55, verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Your prayer is a burden that is turned Godward. Fathers, this morning, what burdens do you carry? There can be many burdens, whether it's business or home or church. We're called to bring them to God. Bring them to God. Mothers, what burdens do you carry? Well, it's maybe the constant responsibilities, the pressures of home life, the pressures of keeping things rolling, pleasing your husband, the burden sometimes of just maintaining health and strength. Those things, those burdens need to be, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord." Cast it upon the Lord. Tell him that, "Oh, this is so hard, God. I'm struggling. Give it to God." Promises that he shall sustain thee. Youth. We have a number here. What for pressures do you face? Some of us look back and yes, it was carefree, but there's also, I know there's burdens and challenges that you face. And we are not here to minimize that, but we will also say that being youth is some of the most carefree times and oftentimes in one's life. But there is pressure, there's challenges, there can be acceptance issues, there can be dating questions, there can be friendship questions. Things to really try to find out where you want to go with your life. The singles can also have burdens. What burdens do you carry? It can be just to, you know, where you fit in the spectrum. Also the burden of, you know, what's ahead? What's ahead for my life? That can be overwhelming to some at times because they just really aren't sure what God has in mind, what God's will is. Well, life can present some big challenges. But my encouragement here this morning is that you knock on heaven's door to pour out your heart. Fourthly, is knock to find answers for life's perplexities. The Israelites, they had a problem, and that was to murmur time and time again. And oftentimes, they put this murmuring against Moses. What did Moses do time and time again? We have in Exodus 17, verse 4. "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." See, they weren't happy, and they took it out on Moses and murmured and murmured and murmured time and time again. That was one of life's perplexities that Moses faced. When they were up against the Red Sea, God said to Moses, he said, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." But notice, first, he took that perplexity to God. God answered and said, "Go forward." Yeah, I believe, and we all know, that life can present some big challenges, big problems. Sometimes there's big decisions. There can be financial challenges, decisions, where to live, others, whether it's where to live, where to work. There can be health challenges, and some of you are facing that. Decisions of what doctor, what hospital. Knock on heaven's door to find answers for life's perplexities. Fifthly is knock, to be filled with the knowledge of God. Colossians chapter 1, 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Apostle Paul was a busy man, but he was also a praying man. He prayed. In prison, he redeemed the time by praying. He prayed for churches. He prayed for individuals. He was in prison here. In the last verse of Colossians, he says, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Notice in verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Paul had a heart for the church in general, but he also had a heart for specific people. But notice there in verse 9 how that he says his desire was that people would be filled. Filled with what? That ye might be filled with what? Pleasure? That people would be filled with success? People would be filled with a good time? No, that people would be filled, that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That was touched on a little bit in the devotions. That's a need. That's such a need for the child of God, that each of us would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Is that something we should be afraid of? We shouldn't be. We shouldn't be afraid of God's will. God's will is, it's good for us. God, and that all goes back to the thought, the main thought, that God loves us. God loves us. Maybe there's a young man that fears that God's will for him is to marry the girl that he's least attracted to. Do you think that would be God's will? Hardly. That's usually not how God works. But some people are worried about what God's will is for them. We really shouldn't be. God loves us. He wants the best for us. So brethren and sisters, that needs to be one of our searches for our life, is what God's will is for us, because his will be the best thing for us. We don't need to be afraid of God's will. We need to knock. Knock and knock and knock to be filled with the knowledge of God's will for our life. Sixthly, we need to knock to be strengthened in the inner man. Turn back a few pages to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 16. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Brethren and sisters, this morning, we cannot sustain our spiritual life. I think we would all say, you want to go to heaven this morning? Yes, we want to go to heaven this morning. But if you don't sustain your spiritual life this morning, you will not get to heaven. And we cannot sustain our own spiritual life. We need God's help to sustain, to be strengthened in the inner man. In verse 16, really, this is a grant from God that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's a beautiful verse for us Christians this morning. But it is a grant from God when we are strengthened inside, that we have strength and vitality. What shall we do when we're weak? And I think we all need to be realistic and realize and accept that there's some times that we feel weak. We feel weak. Weak in the flesh. And maybe temptations are being bombarded and we feel weak. Maybe you're discouraged this morning. Or maybe the straight and narrow way looks too restrictive and you're thinking, really, I don't know if I want to really go on with my church. It just looks so restrictive. There's other options out there. Maybe I'll take one of those options. Well, my encouragement here this morning is that you start knocking. You need to start knocking on heaven's door and look heavenward. Your God is waiting for us to make arrangements with us to grant riches of his glory to us, to strengthen us in the inner man. We cannot do it ourselves. God wants us to be strengthened for his work. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, a familiar verse, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Again, it's those that knock on heaven's door and they wait there in faith, depending on God. God sees that and he loves to answer those prayers. He wants to strengthen us with his strength so that we can be fruitful. Our prayer should be that we are a fountain of blessing to those around us. The servant that hid his talent, was he a fountain of blessing to those around him? No, I don't think so. It was a very selfish thing to do. And we're prone to selfishness. Now, we're not prone to just give our time and give our money and give our resources and see them go. We're natured to be selfish. But brethren and sisters, the blessings aren't in being selfish. The blessings are in giving and being using our resources to bless the kingdom of God. And I encourage you, those of you that are sacrificing Sunday after Sunday to keep this work going here in church, I encourage you to keep taking courage. There is not a blessing in hiding our talent. There's blessings in continuing to look to God and to bless his kingdom. I was encouraged with the song we sang about sounding out the story of Jesus. Yes, the Bronx here, they need to hear the stories of Jesus. New York City needs to hear the stories of Jesus. We need strength also to be what we should be. Again, we cannot be what we should be without God's strength. And we cannot do what we should do without God's strength. We need it so badly. Seventhly, we need to knock to be established and kept in God. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that ye may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We need to knock on heaven's door so that we can be established and so that we can be kept from evil. Brethren and sisters, we live in a very dangerous world. We do. Of course, back in the 60s, they said, yeah, the world's very dangerous because of the Cold War and the possibility of a nuclear war. And, you know, there was a lot of talk then. People would have shelters and things, safe places. A few months ago, thought of it now, we were in a place that they had built for the U.S. Congress so that in case there's an atomic warfare, that they could all go there. It was underground. Down in Virginia, it's now open for the public. But it was because they believed they lived in a dangerous world. And today there's still security concerns around the globe. We live in a dangerous world. But I believe for us this morning, the most dangerous situation for us is not being established in God. Brethren and sisters, that's the most dangerous things. And that could be us this morning. It could be you that you're not established in God. And that's a very dangerous thing. Failing to be established in God and then searching for something is very dangerous. We know many, too many people that find themselves there. We need to pray, lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. I read something. It goes like this. Intercom with the infinite. There was a native Christian in Africa. He was seen sitting long under a tree. And he would sit there, and then he'd look up, and then he would look down. The missionary asked him, "What are you doing?" He replied, "I'm reading my Bible." But he said, "Well, you're looking up, and then you're looking down. What's that about?" Well, he said, "Yes, I'm looking up to God, and I talk to him, and then I look down to his book, and let him talk to me." I believe that's a sure way to get established in God. I don't think there's any other safer way to get established in God than just doing that. Doing that with a sincere heart. That don't know how long he was a Christian, but if he does that diligently, he will become established in God. Eighthly is knock to intercede for the salvation of souls. We have many examples in Scripture of individuals that talk to God because they were interceding. We need to be among those people this morning. Exodus chapter 32, verse 10 and 11. Moses is an example of this. Moses, "Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation." This is God. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, 'For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn thou from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people." Moses goes on there and is interceding for individuals, for the Israelites. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we have verses 1 through 4. "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior." That's a call for us individually. It's a call to us collectively to be people that are interceding. Did you intercede for Obama this past week? The Bible tells us that we should be. We should be interceding for him, among many others. In Romans chapter 10, 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." We can look at other individuals in the past that interceded. We had the story of George Mueller, that he prayed and prayed. God funded his orphanages. But also, he himself believed that the Lord had given him more than 30,000 souls in answer to prayer. And that not only from among the orphans, but also many others for whom, in some cases for 50 years had prayed faithfully every day in firm faith that they would be saved. We get so lazy, I guess, in prayer. What? How many years have you been praying for someone? 10, 15, 20 years? Just to be diligent and praying in faith for this individual? What a challenge. Mueller prayed for 50 years for some individuals. And he was asked what ground he so firmly believed this, that he prayed faithfully every day in firm faith that these individuals would be saved. And he said, "There are conditions which I always endeavor to fulfill in observing which I have assurance of prayer, assurance of answer to my prayer. Number one, I have not the least doubt, because I am assured that it is the Lord's will to save them. For he willeth that all men should be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." 1 Timothy 2:4. "And we have assurance that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." 1 John 5:14. Secondly, he said, "I have never pleaded for their salvation in my own name, but in the blessed name of my precious Lord Jesus and on his merits alone." 1 John 1:14. His third answer is, "I always firmly believed in the willingness of God to hear my prayers." Mark 11:24. His fourth answer was, "I'm not conscious of having yielded to any sin. For if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me when I call." Psalm 66:18. His fifth reason is, "I have persevered in believing prayer for more than 52 years for some, and shall continue till the answer comes. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him?" Luke 18:7. May we take courage and knock and knock to intercede for souls. There's family, there's friends, there's neighbors that will be condemned. They'll be condemned to the lake of fire. I thought of that this past week, of a sudden death of a Mennonite boy, raised Mennonite, became wayward, suddenly killed in a motorcycle accident. And my heart bleeds for those parents. Is he right with God? Did he get right with God before he died? But to think of that lake of fire, that there's no end, no relief. No relief. Not sometime. No relief forever. Can we think about that? We think about God, but can we think about eternity and that lake of fire, that there's people that have joined that rich man? That rich man is there and he's still wishing for just a little bit of drop of water. But there's tens and millions that have joined him since, and they too just wish for just a little bit of water. And brethren and sisters, this morning, we know people that we need to really accept that they're really lost because they haven't accepted Jesus. They're living for themselves. Does that burden our hearts? Well, I believe it needs to burden our heart before we're going to start interceding. It needs to burden our heart. And we need to pray. I need to pray myself. God, give me a burden for the lost. Give me a burden for people that I know that are lost. And I believe that will help us to intercede as we should. We can intercede. We say, we don't have time to pray. We have a lot of time to pray. We have 24 hours in a day. We decide what to do with that time. We decide to do with that time. How about young people? Just decide to go on a couple week, well, a couple days. Just say, you know, I'm going to just pull back from all my connections. My phone, just going to check it once a day, see what's there. But I'm going to connect to God and I'm going to intercede for people. We could if we really wanted to. Ninthly, We need to knock to implore the blessing of Jesus. We need the blessing of Jesus. In Luke chapter 24, verses 50 and 51. Luke 24, 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. That's Jesus. That happened. It happened. There's a place somewhere. We don't know exactly the spot, but there's a spot where Jesus stood and he blessed his disciples and he started going up and went back to heaven. And now we're here. We're here to call, we're being called to take up that work. And he's there. He's so interested in this work of his church. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Oh, those disciples needed that blessing. And so do we this morning. We need to knock on heaven's door to have God's blessing, to have Jesus' blessing. Our effort to this morning is vain without his blessing. This effort here, I know there's many hours of sacrifice, many hours of travel. But remember, it's vain without the blessing of Jesus. We need the blessing of Jesus. For without me, you can do nothing. We, as fellow laborers in the kingdom, we need to continue to implore the blessing of Jesus upon our churches, upon our marriages, upon our homes. That Jesus would raise his hand upon us and bless us. That could be a good prayer for us this morning, or this week. Yes, this morning, but this coming week. Just pray, God, raise your hand and bless these efforts wherever you are. Knock to submit. The greatest prayer of submission of our Lord is in the garden. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt, is a prayer of submission. He was in such agony, and yet he submitted to God. What a testimony. You know, prayer is not a way for us to control God. It's a way for us to put ourselves under God's control. Sometimes God wills the unpleasant. Sometimes God wills the difficult. Sometimes he wills the very difficult. And we need to submit our will to his. We need to claim the promise that his grace will be sufficient. Philip Brooks said, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. You know, sometimes God withholds dreams. Sometimes it's dreams of our own family. Sometimes it's dreams and there's circumstances come into our life, our family, and we know that, wow, this is going to mean giving up some dreams. What do? Well, we knock. We knock on heaven's door for help to submit. Not as I wilt, but thou. There can be many things along that line, whether it's ordinations, whether it's church standards, whether it's practices that we have, whether it's just life itself. We need to soon close. The last one is knock to prepare for Jesus' return. We are exhorted time and time again to be ready. Jesus is coming back. Jesus says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be able to account worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass
and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch ye therefore. Very important verse, a verse we need to remember. Luke 21:36. Read it later. Read it this week. We need to pray so that we're counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come, and so that we can stand before the Son of Man, so that we are not caught unprepared like those 10 virgins. A closing thought is that our Father in heaven, He never tires of us knocking. He never grows weary of it. Maybe us fathers may get weary if our children knock on our doors too often during a night. But our Father in heaven never gets weary of us knocking. Brothers and sisters, He will never rebuke you because you knocked just a few too many times. He never will. He's so glad for us knocking. He will never make you feel foolish for having so many needs. He'll be pleased if you knock and knock and knock. May God help us to knock just a little more this coming week than what we did this past week. And if we do, then we're going the right direction. I need to knock more often this coming week than this past week. May God help us all. Let's kneel for prayer.